Real quick, we have to take a break to acknowledge the sponsor of today's episode, which is Secret Nature. Secret Nature's ultra premium CBD gummies are crafted with real botanicals, nothing extra, and designed to fit right into your day with clean, purposeful functionality. So for me personally, I like to take one of their snoozer gummies in the evening to unwind and ensure that I get a good night's sleep. After a long day, especially when my brain is just still running a mile a minute and I can't seem to settle down, I'll take one to help me slow down, unplug, and actually get a good night's sleep. I personally don't drink alcohol because I just don't like the way it makes me feel the next day, but these gummies feel very clean, intentional, and it never leaves me groggy the next morning, just feeling balanced and rested. Secret Nature's gummies are organic and farm grown. They're never lab made. They're ultra premium CBD gummies made with real botanicals and nothing extra. You've got two purpose built options. There's Bliss for clear focus and productive flow if you want to take one during the day, and then you get Snoozers to help you relax and rest at the end of the day. Each gummy has consistent, measured CBD, so there's never any guessing, just clean, reliable functionality that fits naturally into your schedule. Get 30% off your first order at secretnature.com with the code MAMA. That's M-A-M-A. And just a heads up, their Black Friday sale is coming up, and they are going to be offering 25% off on orders of $75 or more, 35% off on orders of $125 or more, and then 40% off on orders of $150 or more between November 26th and the 30th. So don't forget to use my code MAMA when you check out. That's M-A-M-A at secretnature.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You chose to hit play on this podcast today. Smart choice. Make another smart choice with AutoQuote Explorer to compare rates from multiple car insurance companies all at once. Try it at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance and Affiliates. Not available in all states and situations. Prices may vary on how you buy.
With a Venmo debit card, you can Venmo more than just your friends. You can use your balance in so many ways. You can Venmo everything. Need gas? You can Venmo this. How about snacks? You can Venmo that. Your favorite band's merch? You can Venmo this. Or their next show? You can Venmo that. Visit Venmo.me/debit to learn more.
You can Venmo this, or you can Venmo that. You can Venmo this, or you can Venmo that.
The Venmo MasterCard is issued by the Bancorp Bank N.A. pursuant to license by MasterCard International Incorporated. Card may be used everywhere MasterCard is accepted. Venmo purchase restrictions apply.
It's summer. Time to enjoy long days, lazy nights, and great food. Because Uber Eats has deals all summer long. So, when hunger strikes, don't sweat it. Delicious deals are just a tap away on Uber Eats. Enjoy all your favorite grocery items delivered straight to you. Get ice cream, soda, and snacks from your favorite stores like Wegmans and CVS and make the most of every moment. Now that sounds like a good summer. Order now on Uber Eats. Terms apply. Product availability varies by region. See app for details.
Welcome back to another Mom a Minute episode brought to you by your host, Kelly, and
Austin,
my co-host and my husband. So as I already said, this is a Mama Minute episode. We're going to just chat about life stuff, not true crime. If you want true crime, skip over to the next one. But if you want to just hear us babble, stick around because I promise it'll be worth it.
Banter.
I promise. Okay, before we get into some of our listener write-ins, there is something that I want to talk about because I don't know if y'all have been following this story on TikTok. I've been kind of cluing Austin in on it, but Lieutenant Dan, we have to talk about Lieutenant Dan.
This dude's wild. Kelly's been telling me about this and it's kind of bonks.
So if you are on TikTok, then you might already be aware, but if not, let me just kind of sum it up for you, okay? So Lieutenant Dan is this kind of homeless guy down in Tampa. I say kind of homeless because he has a boat and he like lives on this 22-foot janky little boat, but it doesn't have a working motor. And I don't know if it actually works, like if it can actually work as a boat, but he just keeps it anchored to this one dock. So it started out where Lieutenant Dan, whose real name is Joe, but we're going to call him Lieutenant Dan, he kept his boat docked on this public dock in Tampa. And right before Hurricane Helene, this guy Terrence noticed him on his boat and he was struggling to tie his anchor because Lieutenant Dan only has one leg, which is probably why he's called Lieutenant Dan. But anyway, so He's only got one leg. Terrence walks by. He sees him struggling. So he stops what he's doing to go and help Dan.
Terrence is just a random guy.
Terrence is a random guy. He's like a college student. And he starts documenting his experiences and his conversations with Lieutenant Dan on TikTok. So he's kind of talking to Dan about this impending Hurricane Helene. And he's like, hey, are you going to like evacuate? Are you going to be okay? Like, this hurricane is coming. And Lieutenant Dan basically says, no, 5 years ago, God told me that I belonged in Tampa and that I needed to come to Tampa and buy a boat. And so that's what I did. I listened to God and now I'm here. And I know that God is going to pull me through it because he's telling me that this is what I'm meant to do. So Terrence is putting all these videos on TikTok and it starts garnering a lot of attention. And people are starting to like really root for Lieutenant Dan. Well, then 2 weeks after Helene, which by the way, he makes it through Helene. Well, 2 weeks later, Hurricane Milton comes and it is heading directly for Tampa. So it's an evacuation zone. Everyone is being told to evacuate.
Which real quick, how insane is it how quick that thing blew up? Which by the time it reached land, did it kind of
Dissipate a little bit. Yeah, it weakened a little bit.
It went nothing from very little to a Cat 5, like, quick.
Yeah, it seemed really, really intense.
Meteorologists were saying we don't have anything to explain this.
Right.
It's kind of weird.
It's very weird.
And then there's the whole thing, conspiracies about, which it is something that, I don't know really who does it, but juicing clouds or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Cloud seeding.
Cloud seeding. And that's a real thing that they use in deserts and whatnot. But it's just the whole were they doing that? I don't know. The whole thing is just interesting.
Yeah. That's like a separate topic.
Yeah. Not trying to get into that. I just was talking about how interesting it is, how quick that storm developed.
For sure. So, but everyone is of course like reeling and really nervous about Hurricane Milton. So they're all pleading with Lieutenant Dan, like, hey, please go to a shelter. Like, they're offering money for him to go stay in a hotel. Terrence is even offering him a place to stay. Like, they're begging him to leave the boat and go, you know, save himself. And he's like, no, I'm not leaving. Like, nobody's going to make me leave. Even the police were coming up to the boat and telling him he had to leave. So anyway, everyone at this point, now he's really blowing up on TikTok. So Terrence creates a GoFundMe for Lieutenant Dan, and it raises about $40,000. And the goal was for him to be able to use this to get a new boat. Okay. So Milton comes, Lieutenant Dan somehow survives on his 22-foot little boat that is attached to this dock. He somehow makes it through and everyone is like, yay, cheering for Lieutenant Dan. And it seems like this good, like feel good story. And then it starts going south, and it starts going south really quick. So one of the first things that happened was this creator on Kick. So have you heard of Kick, like a streaming platform?
Oh, kind of like Twitch.
Yeah, so it's like a streaming platform. I guess you can like go live, and I don't know. There was a deal where some guy named Aiden was offering him a Kick deal where he was going to make like tens of thousands of dollars every month for streaming like 100 hours a month or something like that.
Aiden Ross?
Yeah. Is that who created Kick or something?
No, but he's a big name. He's blown up because of that stuff.
Okay. Yeah. So, because I wasn't familiar with like Kick or who that was. But yeah, Aiden Ross got involved. So they offer him this Kick deal. Well, then because of all of this notoriety going on, this other creator called, who goes by the name Check the Star, finds Lieutenant Dan and kind of just snakes his way in. And now this Check the Star character looks a lot like those island boys. He's got like the sparkly grill on his teeth. He's got the hair, the tattoos on his face. Like he literally looks like an island boy. Like if you know who I'm talking right. about, hopefully that made sense what I just did there.
Yeah.
But anyway, this Check the Star character kind of weeds himself into Lieutenant Dan, and he is basically trying to turn Lieutenant Dan against Terrence because Terrence all along has been trying to help him. It's known that that Terrence started this GoFundMe for Lieutenant Dan, and I think Check the Star saw this opportunity to kind of weed himself in and take the money. So, like, overnight, Terrence is now like blacklisted essentially. So Check the Star has basically teamed up with Lieutenant Dan. Lieutenant Dan is now saying he doesn't trust Tampa Terrence because
of all this GoFundMe situation. So Lieutenant Dan's concern was that the GoFundMe was not created in his name. Well, the problem is Lieutenant Dan had no ID, no bank account. Like, there was no way to get him the money unless they, you know, created the GoFundMe to go to someone else. And then the idea, the plan was for them to then withdraw the money and hand it directly to Lieutenant Dan. That's like the only way it would have worked, unless they would have waited for him to get all the things he needed. But like a hurricane's coming, they're not waiting. So anyway, Terrence was able to withdraw about $7,000 from the GoFundMe, which at that point had reached about $40,000. So Terrence withdraws about $7,000 and he offers to go bring it to Lieutenant Dan, check the stars there. And he hands over $7,000 to Lieutenant Dan. Lieutenant Dan then gives it to check the star, and then check the star is like, well, no, you should count it. Hands the money back to Lieutenant Dan and sure enough counts it, but there's only $6,900. So they're suggesting that Tampa Terrence stole $100 off the top of that $7,000. Now, here's the problem with that. First of all, if he was going to steal money, like, don't you think he would have taken more than just $100 from $7,000? Plus, he's got another $30,000 sitting in this account, like waiting for everything to transfer. And the whole point was that Tampa Terrence was going to help Dan get the ID, get the bank account, get it transferred over so that like the remaining funds could still go to Lieutenant Dan. But Check the Star is now kind of making Dan skeptical and paranoid. I actually believe that it was Check the Star that probably stole money from that wad to begin with. But I mean, there's no proof of that. But anyway, it's just gotten so out of hand that now there's like beef between all these creators. And poor Tampa Terrence, who, that's his name. When I call him Tampa Terrence, his actual name is Terrence, but his TikTok screen name is Tampa Terrence. So everyone's like rooting for him and they're like, listen, Terrence, we know you were just trying to help this guy. We're sorry that this is happening. And they are recommending him to go shut down the GoFundMe and refund everybody's money. But the problem with that is you've already given him $7,000. So if you cancel the GoFundMe and refund everyone, then Terrence is then out $7,000. Because like you got to come up with that money somehow if you refund everyone, right? Mm-hmm. So anyway, Terrence is like, I am so done with this. I don't want anything to do with the GoFundMe. I don't want anything to do with Dan. Like, and the other thing too that's really sad is that behind the scenes, when all of this is going on, you can definitely see a change in Lieutenant Dan because he's obviously doing drugs. And he's doing drugs with Check the Star, I believe. Like, that's my opinion, whatever. But it's pretty obvious, though. So that's one sad thing. Also, Lieutenant Dan's estranged daughter has come out and said that, you know, Lieutenant Dan is her father and he hasn't had anything to do with her for a long time, but she's worried that all this money is only going to exacerbate his addiction issues. And that if Hurricane Milton wasn't going to kill him, then these drugs definitely are. So it's just like a really crazy story that it started out as this like feel good, we're rooting for you type of story to now like, holy cow, Dan is turning out to be an asshole. And in one of his lives, Lieutenant Dan goes on live and somebody had come and donated 2 jars of peanut butter. So I guess during one of his lives, he was like, yeah, I really like having this little jar of peanut butter. Like, it really sustains me or whatever. So somebody went out of their way to go get him 2 of those big creamy Jif jars of peanut butter, give them to him. And he was like, literally goes on live and he's like, what am I supposed to do with 2 big jars of peanut butter? Where am I supposed to store this on my 22-foot boat? I can't do this. And it's like, dude, shut up. These people are offering you free stuff and you're complaining about it. He's just,
yeah,
he's an asshole.
I'm curious what people will think when they're listening to this. Cause I'm like some people, I feel like hearing this whole thing, you could get kind of interested, right? Mm-hmm. And you obviously got interested and a lot of the internet has gotten interested. You started telling me about it one night and I looked him up and it took me like 20 seconds, call me judgmental or whatever. I was like, I'm not interested in this and got out of it all. And so the whole time you've been telling me about it, I'm like, yeah.
Like,
respectfully,
you're not
I'm not interested in this at all, but cool. I'm sure there's people that are. I mean, it's a huge trending viral thing.
Yeah. Oh, it's big time.
Yeah,
it's all
I'm just
over
not
my
interested.
For You page. It's gone all over the place. But if you're into TikTok, I guess, and like if you've been watching this, it's just kind of crazy how I think at the end of the day, what amazed me was just how quickly it arose to be this good feel good story to then now it's like, oh my gosh, well, this was a dumpster fire. And, you know, he's trying to help out this guy who seems hard on his luck. And it sometimes, as good as your intentions are, there are people that just don't deserve it. And Lieutenant Dan doesn't deserve it.
Lieutenant Dan looks like a dumpster fire from the second you look him up.
Yeah. And he's like, I don't give a shit about my daughter. She hasn't cared about me for the last 10 years. And I'm like, oh my gosh, at some point you just have to stop talking. Like you're just, and so anyway, he lost his kick deal. Aiden Ross then rescinded the deal and offered it to Terrence instead.
Oh my gosh.
So I don't know. Everything is just falling apart. Apparently there's also ties between Check the Star and Aaron Carter, who recently died. I don't know. There's just, it's like a rabbit hole. I am deep in the rabbit hole, clearly. I've been going on for 12 minutes, and this is all unscripted. This is just like all off the top of my head.
I walked past the rabbit hole and heard you talking about it one day and was like, all right, I'm good. You're way down in the hole.
Austin's not surprised. But anyway, that is the story with Lieutenant Dan. It's wild. I feel bad for Terrence. I don't feel bad for Dan. I don't know. I don't know. That's all I have to say about that, I guess.
I feel bad for the husbands out there who listen to Mama Mystery and they feel like me right now. And they're like, so what are we talking about next?
Okay, let's go to the next one. We have some listener write-ins. Okay. So I'm going to read this one first. Okay. This one says, thoughts and insight on raising children in today's world. What are your favorite traditions for your family / kids? How are you feeling after having Ellie? How are the kids adjusting? How is having four kids? I miss listening to you and Austin on Mama Mystery, and I hope you guys are doing great. So that was probably written in before we started really pumping out some episodes, because we're like kind of on a roll right now. I'm really proud of us. But anyway, okay, let's start with favorite traditions. We do have some traditions. Take it away. I've talked enough.
You go first.
No, you. Talk about our three favorite things. Go.
Okay, so at dinner, we try to have family dinner as much as we can during the week. Mm-hmm. And when we have favorite family dinners, this is like my favorite part of every day. And Augie has latched onto it. Augie's our 2.5-year-old. And so we ask everybody around the table, the first thing, or like one of the first things we talk about always during dinner is your three favorite parts of the day. And Augie goes, he'll start yelling a family member, Jack, three favorite parts of the day, go. So that's become our thing. And it's funny because if we have people over, be it my mom, my dad, a family member, a friend, whatever, it can be, or even business people in town and they're sitting at the table, it's instinct that when we're sitting at the dinner table, Augie automatically asks for everybody to go do their three favorite parts of the day. And so three favorite parts of your day at dinner, family dinners, that's, and I think family dinners are, you know, kind of that classic, I think they're very important. I think they're kind of a classic kind of backbone foundation of a healthy family dynamic and relationship. So I value that a lot. Yeah.
Bedtime routines.
We're pretty rigid with our schedules in general,
mm-hmm.
You know?
So yeah, our bedtime routine is, Kennedy is our 10-year-old and I usually read her a chapter of The Babysitter's Club. We're on book 6 or 7 right now. I'm actually getting kind of into it, but it's kind of funny because like Kennedy and I will kind of poke fun at some of these stories, but, so that's kind of our routine is with Kennedy. I read to her, with Augie, he gets books read to him every night.
We do books with Augie and then Augie kind of, it'll be a book. And then he likes me now to tell him he likes me to tell him a story. And usually the story, like as I'm making it up, it's not a book, but it's a true story because it's usually just based on Augie's day that he had today or this new thing he likes. One day Kelly brought him to the doctor. He had a doctor appointment and he went to Target and got some Starbucks. And so almost every night right now, after we close books, he lays his head down on me and goes, Daddy, I want to hear story. Augie goes to doctor. And he lays his head down and I tell him the whole story and show him pictures. It's pretty cute.
That's cute. Yeah. And then you and Jack have been cold plunge and sauna. Yeah. Talk about that. Cause that's pretty cool.
Many nights a week, we cold plunge and sauna. And so that goes to kind of, hey, raising kids in today's world, man, talk about something crazy. The concept of raising kids in the world we live in today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't have the answers, but like one thing me and Jack do is we do cold plunging. So we're talking water that's anywhere from 45 to 60 degrees, 55 degrees, and do a minute to 3 minutes in that. And then we have the sauna at 200 plus degrees and we'll do, you know, 8 to 15 minutes in the sauna, and we'll do what I call a round. So let's say you do 10 minutes in the sauna, 2 minutes in the cold plunge. That's one round. We'll do two or three rounds of that. And, you know, there's a lot of health benefits to that. Anti-inflammatory benefits. It's good for anxiety. It's good for, there's a ton of mental benefits to it as well. And I think it's good for humans to do hard shit and overcome hard shit. And you can put that in your mental cookie jar. Whenever you're facing hard things or more adversity in life, you can dig in and realize, well, I can overcome this. I can do this, what's in front of me. So I think it's really valuable for lessons for him and for me. So
yeah, building that confidence. And it's just time for you two to be alone and talking to each other. And I think that's important.
Yeah, man, trying to find one-on-one time with your kids is really tough.
Especially when you have four.
Yeah, but it's really important.
Or even just more than one.
Yeah, for sure.
It's hard. But how are kids adjusting? They love Ellie. So Ellie is 3 months now and everybody loves her. She is the sweetest baby, you guys. If I would have had Ellie to start with, I probably would have had like 10 kids because I'm like, this is cake. She's the best baby.
She's awesome.
She's also like the great unifier because everybody just loves her. Like Augie, Jack, Kennedy, they all love her. So she's a real sweet girl.
Four kids is a lot though.
Four kids is definitely a lot. We have our moments.
But you know, I was walking down the driveway the other day, walking with Ellie, and I told Kelly this later. We were talking, and I said, you know, if we didn't have the kids and all this stuff going on, it's like, what would you be doing? Like, that's the point, you know? So I'm grateful.
Yeah. Okay, so the next listener write-in is, how do you remain intimate with each other while being in your full-blown parent era?
Go ahead, Kelly.
Well, I guess my simplest answer to this is that we don't co-sleep with our children. So, like, Ellie doesn't sleep in bed with us or even in our room. She sleeps in her crib. Augie has slept in his own crib since he was 11 days old. Ellie took a little longer, but she still was never in our room. She was always, like, in the great room, and we were sleeping in the great room. Like, I don't know why we did that for as long as we did in hindsight.
Ellie went to her crib at day 40. Augie went to his crib at day 11 or day 9. I can't remember.
Yeah. And no matter where they slept, they were always like in a space alone by themselves, like in their own room. But I think that has become essential, is just not co-sleeping. So hopefully that answers it for you. But, you know, our kids have a pretty early bedtime. And
I got a pretty...
What?
Nothing.
Finish that thought.
No, it's all good.
So you just get it where you can get it. You know, we've got a big closet.
Get in where you fit in.
Okay, so the next one is, I'm 3 weeks postpartum. I guess this is similar to the first one, but it says, I'm 3 weeks postpartum and in the trenches. I didn't realize how intense baby blues and PPD could be. Postpartum depression. What was all your postpartum experiences like? And do you have any advice for a first-time mom going through it right now? So, man, I have had my experience with postpartum depression, the blues, all of that. It was honestly probably the worst with Augie. And I feel like it was the worst with Augie because
for good reason.
Yeah, because I had him in December and it was already kind of like I think I was already kind of battling a little bit of seasonal depression. It also had been a long time since I'd had a baby.
That right there.
And so I think I was just kind of like, oh, I thought I had this and I realized that I didn't. And it was also during COVID. So there was just a lot of like unrest when it came to viruses and sicknesses and all the things and just life in general. So that was really hard.
When you compare, you know, we can hardcore compare and contrast Ellie and Augie's lives from when they were born and then how it affected you right after and how it affected me and everything. Mm-hmm. And Augie, we like reset because we had an 8-9-year-old and went and redid everything and went back to, you know, we had no idea what it was like to not sleep again. And we were hardcore into research and banging our head against the wall. And it was a lot to handle. Ellie, everything was so fresh. We had just done it. It's been completely different. Mm-hmm. The way we've carried ourselves, the way we get stressed out, we still have a rigid schedule, just like we had a rigid schedule with August. We still in all senses of the word, we're the same in terms of how we've played out life for them, mm-hmm. but how we've handled it mentally has been very different, I think.
I agree. Yeah. And I think a lot of it is because we had had Augie, so it wasn't as fresh as when I had Augie, mm-hmm. you know, like getting into it again. But one thing I will say is we have an episode on Lindsay Clancy. If you can go back and find that episode, I really talk about a lot of my own personal struggles with postpartum because Lindsay Clancy, her story is all about, well,
that's when she had the moment of psychosis and killed her kids, right?
Yes.
All of them?
Yes.
Yeah. That's a crazy story.
Her story is obviously like an extreme because it was postpartum psychosis, but it's something that's not talked about as much, but I do feel like postpartum
because it's not common. Thank God.
Right. But postpartum depression is, and I think that she was originally struggling with that and trying to get that under control. And then it just snowballed into psychosis and they were throwing all these different drugs at it. Like it's a very intense story. So if you are in the right place to go listen to that story, I do think that you should just to know that you're not alone. And I talk about my own experiences with it there too, that obviously aren't as extreme as Lindsay's, but I don't know. I think it's not talked about enough, obviously, but I do think it's getting talked about more. And so I'm grateful for that. But when I had Jack, I was 25 and then I had Kennedy exactly a year later. So Jack and Kennedy are only 12 months apart. When I had Kennedy, it was right after my mom had died, like literally 3 weeks, I think, after my mom died, I had Kennedy. And that was just like one of the hardest years of my life. And so there was a lot of external factors that played a part into my postpartum depression. And I did end up getting on medication for that. I'm still on medication to this day. I have no shame in saying that. And so I guess the reason I say these things is one, so that nobody feels like they're alone because you're not alone. But two, because it's okay to ask for help, whether it's in the form of having someone come over and watching the kid while you take a nap or get some cleaning done or whatever. Whatever makes you feel normal again. But two, if you need to go to a doctor and talk about it and get on medication because you really are struggling, please don't feel shame in that. There's nothing wrong with you for doing that. You can't pour from an empty cup, and your kids need the best version of you in order for them to succeed also. So
yeah,
you have to take care of yourself first. It's that like cliche saying, you know, when an airplane is going down, you put your face mask on first before you assist your child or whatever. It's like the same thing.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, 100% agree. Two comments I'll just add to it. The postpartum depression, just to get more specific, this time around with Ellie, I think one thing that's important is really recognizing it and you and your spouse and being aware of it. Because like, for example, this time was very different than with August. Kelly had really like these afternoon evening slumps that would last for a few hours and it would happen a few days a week. Don't you agree with that?
Yeah.
It's almost like clockwork. So I think if you can arm yourself with the knowledge and the realization of when it's happening, mm-hmm. and then talk with your spouse about that and they can help you be supportive in those situations. Cause like it helped me knowing that that's when you were struggling and then I could pick up on it and I could maybe change my demeanor a little bit rather than just being like sick of this shit, you know, every mm-hmm. afternoon you're like this, you know?
Yeah. And it's really sad to me that there's anyone out there who deals with a partner like that.
Right.
Because it's so unfair and just so sad.
So it's a team effort is my point.
It is a team effort. And I think self-awareness plays a big part because I was at least self-aware enough to be like, I'm really hormonal. I can't pinpoint what's making me sad, but I can tell that I'm very sad and I just need a break. And you were like really excellent at just letting me go do that and supporting me through that, or even just recognizing it and not holding it against me and not always trying to fix the problem. Cause a lot of times, like the reason for me being sad was not fixable by anything you could have said, you know?
Sometimes you would even tell me after it was nonsense.
Yeah.
And you know it's nonsense, but you're still upset.
Yeah.
And rather than trying to fix it, rather than trying to tell you, hey, this is nonsense and you know it, I would just kind of listen. And then you'd come back around in a few hours and you'd be like, it's so stupid. And I would be like, yeah, this one's kind of rough, but it is what it is, you know?
Yeah. It's so weird though, because in the moment, it's like, you feel like two different people. Like the rational side of my brain could say, this is ridiculous. And if you say this out loud, you're going to sound really silly. But in my chest, in my heart, in my emotions, I was like, no, this is really eating me up. And this is really, really hard. And so it was like this battle of two Kellys, and you just have to persist, to keep wading through the storm.
And you would communicate that to me. And it was kind of like this team thing going through it.
Yeah.
Last thing I'll say is this, just in terms of parents and kids. And I think this is one thing that, not to sound like a know-it-all, but it is truly just life experience of going through it. Kid one versus kid four. Motherhood and fatherhood at 24, 25 versus motherhood and fatherhood at 32. Those are all completely different scenarios. And so take that for what it's worth. In every sense of the world, postpartum, how you manage your kids, different levels of patience, different levels of maturity, different levels of everything. And so you can't get caught up comparing yourself to, oh, well, that mom, she has four kids and she seems like she's so put together. And here I am with one struggling. Number one, it's not a comparison game. Number two, that person has more life experience. That person has more, and maybe that person's not doing better. My point is just like not getting caught up in the Joneses game. Oh, well, the Joneses down there, they're doing good and they have it figured out. And none of us have it figured out. We're all just doing the best we can and don't know shit.
You know, it's
about
one,
everything.
Yes. And that should be on a sticker. You know, it's one thing to look to someone for inspiration. It's another though, if you're constantly comparing yourself to them, and then it's making you feel bad about yourself. So really check that. If you're like following a creator, for example, I like this account called Ballerina Farm on Instagram, and it's this mom, Hannah Neilman, who has, I think, like 8 kids, and they live on this farm in Utah, and she just kind of lives off the land, and she's always making these crazy like homemade meals and all this stuff. And she's always got like a baby on her hip. I don't know. I look at that and I'm like, I think about her patience. I am so in awe of her patience that she seems to have with all of her kids. So at times when I feel myself getting overwhelmed, I'm like, at least I don't have 8, you know? And like, so I think of it in that way. But I noticed over the last like 6 months that Hannah Neilman has caught a lot of heat on social media because of the way that she lives her life. And people are like, how can you have 8 kids? That's such a disservice to your kids, because there's no way you could spend time with each one of them.
Stupid thing to say.
It's so stupid. And I'm thinking to myself, like, anyone who claims to know or think that they know the intricacies about anyone's life based on the small amount that they choose to share on social media is so ignorant. Like, you really need to check yourself if you're really pouring that much energy into a creator you don't even know, or a family you don't know, or even a friend that you maybe do know, but you're just assuming that about their lives. Like, you need to really self-reflect.
Yeah. And just in general, the whole comparison game, you know, it's easy. If you're a mom, a dad that's 38 years old with 5 kids and busy and whatever else, yeah, guess what? It takes more discipline and more effort to get your ass to the gym than it does the 23-year-old mom with one kid. And you're looking at this 23-year-old mom with one kid and you're like, oh, they're so fit and so inspirational. Number one, their life is completely different, all the dynamics. Number two, you're not 23, okay? So you're not
gonna, that's okay.
And that's okay. Like, it's so, I don't know, this conversation I kind of twisted into the whole comparison game, but keeping up with the Joneses, comparisons, all that bullshit, like, just live your life and do the best you can as a parent, as a husband, as a wife, and as a person, and don't beat yourself up.
Yeah. The last thing I'll say about that particular topic is that you have to learn how to give yourself grace, because not every day is going to be perfect. Not every day is going to go as planned. And everything can go wrong in a day, and that is okay. You just have to let it happen. And there were times I used to be so hell-bent on keeping the house super clean and getting everything done and putting all this immense pressure on myself to have everything exactly right. And I think I've done a good job for the most part of letting go of some of those pressures, especially when it came to Mama Mystery, because I was really putting pressure on myself to have everything together.
Yeah, she was beating herself up to the point that, like, oh, the listeners are getting upset. I got a review that somebody hasn't, or they're missing my episodes. And it's like, who gives a shit? It doesn't fit in life right now. Sorry. Yeah. And guess what? We'll get in a phase of life where it will fit back in life.
Yeah. And it took me a minute, but I finally did just realize, like, you know what? This isn't life or death. Like, why am I pouring this much energy into it? So I don't know. It takes time, and you have to, it's like a conscious effort to get to that point. But please, if I can just tell you anything, it is just give yourself grace and ask for help.
You're going to win some days. You're going to lose some days. Just make sure you win more than you lose and you'll be just fine.
That's right. All right. Well, this was 30 minutes.
Let's go.
That went by really fast.
Hey, it was fun to talk conversation. If people got through the first 12 minutes of Lieutenant Dipshit, then this was a decent episode.
Lieutenant Dipshit.
I mean, I don't know how anybody wants. I hope if you're still here listening, thank you.
Thank you. Okay. If you want to write us something to talk about, if you need advice, if you want us to talk about a certain topic, a TikTok trend, send us a message on mamamystery.com. You just scroll down the page. There's a big white box. You can type in your message. If you want us to know who is sending it, make sure you include your name in there. But that is all for today. Now we're going to get into some true crime.
Mama Mystery out.
Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever find yourself playing the budgeting game? Well, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive, you can find options that fit your budget and potentially lower your bills. Try it at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Not available in all states.